Good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, honey. I had just thought the same thing myself. Didn't we just do this just a little while ago with a good morning instead of a good afternoon? Yeah.
Yes.
Old habits.
Good morning seems very old. Yes, exactly. And unfamiliar sort of generates habitual responses.
Yes. Yeah, otherwise we're required to, you know, be in the present, and good grief, it's the end of a long day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. I have a couple of, at least one announcement before we begin.
All right.
Meditation is one of the most effective ways to train the attention to be with the present moment experience. Join Sangha for our virtual meditation groups, conference call meditation sessions that take place 7 days a week. For more information about this and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. All right, Sherry, shall we take our first caller?
Let's.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Oh. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Helga in Charleston.
Hey. Hey, Helga.
Hi.
What you up to?
Well, it's very nice to be here. I just spent some time in Germany with my family. And, you know, I was just thinking there's this quote, I think it's by Ram Dass, you know, where he said, if you think you're enlightened, go visit your family.
Yep.
And, you know, not that I think I'm enlightened or anything like that, but, you know, it's always such a great, to me, such a great place to really see where I'm at, because nobody has ever triggered me like my, you know, remaining family members.
Yes. So originally there were more of them, right? And it was a little spread out. But as the family numbers dwindle, all of the same stuff stays right in place. It's just spread among a smaller group of people.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, historically I've had real difficulties with my family, and, you know, especially, you know, there's only my brother and my sister left, and I've had, you know, very difficult times in the past with my sister. And so I spend a good amount of time with my sister and also with my brother. And, you know, it's really so wonderful for me to be with them, because I can see, you know, what I mostly see is these people, you know, really good-hearted people, really suffering, you know, not outwardly, but I can just see the suffering in them, you know, the struggle that they have inside of themselves, because it's so familiar to me. And, you know, we all have our own ways. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Well, no, Helga, I just wanted to catch up. That so you can see how alike the three of you are. And because you've all come from the same, the same circumstances, and so you can see, you can be present enough to see how they are doing with the same kinds of things that you've had to grapple with.
Yeah, but what I mostly see is, you know, it's like in the past I used to get so entangled with the way they were how I perceived them, and then my reactions to them. So, you know, I would just be in this constant struggle with them, you know, and recreating basically a lot of misery. And you know, and now I feel like, you know, I'm with them. And I can see certain behaviors, you know, and we all had our different ways of dealing with that family system, you know, very, you know, in a different way, but just a lot of lot of misery, a lot of suffering. And I, you know, now I feel like I'm not getting entangled. I'm not getting entangled in these behaviors that I used to have such huge, strong reactions towards, you know, to kind of like...
Well, myself. Now you know, Helga, I have to ask you this at this juncture, right? Is that possibly because of the way you have approached these things in yourself and an increased level of understanding and compassion?
That's exactly possibly. What it is. It's all because of the practice that I've been involved with you and the Sangha. It's only because of that. I mean, it has so changed my life. I can't even begin to tell you, and changed my relationships to these people in such a huge way. And it's only because I understand myself better. I can notice more of how I am and what's going on internally, and that has increased my capacity for seeing what their struggles are. And instead of reacting, I can just be with them. And, you know, I've had some somewhat difficult, well, they weren't really difficult conversations, but really deep conversations, you know, without having to, you know, bring my point across or anything like that. It was just really, I have so much more space.
Yes, well, and Helga, you said something that to me is really, really significant right in the beginning, and that is you describe them as good-hearted people.
Yeah.
Right? And which is what happens to us when we have that kind of understanding of ourselves. As the self-hate disappears, let's face it, as the self-hate falls away, and we can see the struggling human being that we call me, right, and have sympathy for that person and see the goodness of that person as that person is struggling, right, as we move along that path, then what's available, as you say, is because projection is everything, right? So if I am miserable and caught in self-hate and blame and all of that awfulness, then that's what I'm going to project onto other people, right? And then as that falls away, what am I going to project onto other people? Well, they're just like me. They're good-hearted people who have been through very difficult circumstances, and they struggle, and they suffer, and they're really doing the very best that they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, and what I also realized is that because of this practice, I feel like I do have choices.
Yes.
And what I felt with them was, you know, they don't have that.
Yeah.
They don't see themselves having choices in the way they are. They're just so completely identified
with
who they think they are that there is really no out, you know, and I've been given that opportunity to at least know that there is a choice.
Yeah.
And that is like,
don't you
everything,
just,
you know?
Yes, yes, and don't you just desperately want it for them, even though you know you can't give it to them, but at least you can be the difference that you would wish for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's so big, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, so big. Yeah, so big. Yeah.
And the gratitude that we can feel for being in those circumstances where we know we don't have to wonder how we would have been before or if we're different or what kind of change, because we're living it right now, right? I'm here with these people. I watch how I respond. I know how I was in the past. Yeah. Yes, the difference is really, really clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's to me like the biggest measure, you know, where I can actually really see how much has changed for me.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, oftentimes, you know, in my life, I mean, I'm caught up in stuff and sometimes I think I'm just, you know, recycling the same old all the time. But it's not true. You know, it's really...
That's right.
It's really not true.
That is so significant that the voices, because ego doesn't change, right?
Right.
The voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, they're not changing and growing, right? And so they're going to project the same things. And and unless we, you know, we're really paying close attention and have some tools, we just go along with it. So you can be a completely different person, and the voice says, "Yeah, see, you've always been this way. Look at how you are," and we just believe it and feel bad. But as you're describing, when we are able to step back, when we're that disidentified, we can look, we can see, and say, "No, that's not true. It's not true at all. I'm a completely different person."
Yeah.
Wonderful. Very happy for you.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. The world is a better place. All right. Go happy.
Thanks, Helga.
You
thanks,
too.
Helga. Sherry, that one of the things that most struck me about that conversation is that growing realization that not only do we have choice, but that we're exercising that choice. And so that internalization of that is the transformation. It's almost as if we're receiving the transformation that we're practicing.
Yes.
And that challenges the story in a way nothing else does.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because we start being able to see ourselves the way we can see other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we're around somebody and they're doing whatever it is that they're doing in their life and they're really different, we can see that they're really different.
Mm-hmm.
And in disidentifying from ourselves, we can see the same thing in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing that Helga was pointing to, which was so powerful, is that place of the change from difficult to profound, right? That it's not that the dynamics aren't different, but when we approach the dynamics from that place of open-heartedness and kindness and compassion and awareness of how we've done the work and where people are struggling, it is possible to facilitate connection, but not from a place of identification. And that it's sort of what we were alluding to in the morning call of rethink your position. And once you do, once you let your position go, there's just so much that love that can be engendered when we're willing to take the mature place, the high road, if you will, the more present place, let's say.
Yeah. And it's funny, we go from wanting to fix people or change people to just wanting to love them. Which is probably the most
profound
kind of thing we can do.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Stefania.
Hey, Stefania.
So today I realized when I was thinking about what I want to talk about, and I did the meditation just a few minutes ago, is there something that I've been coming back and forth many times, and is how to handle suffering related to how the world goes, how the environment, the climate goes, and at the same time, focus on not suffering.
Yeah. That's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a hard one. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. No, well, the feeling was like I can feel okay with the fact that the things are not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can even almost, I almost cried a few minutes ago about that, but the crying was almost because I was confused on the fact, can I be okay without the things are? And so it was a mixed feeling. It wasn't a cry of sadness. It was crying of almost of maybe you can. And so that was a very weird emotion that came up with that.
Well, it's a big place in practice, isn't it? So I have a loved one, and my loved one gets ill, and it's not going well, and there's not a good prognosis, right?
And so what
do I do under the circumstances? Do I just fall into despair and miss the time that we have in the life that we have together? Or do I say, well, God knows this is not my first choice. It's not my choice at all. But it is the way it is. It is what we have. And so what can I do then? Well, I can bring as much presence and love and kindness and gratitude and appreciation as I can possibly muster. That's really my only choice.
Yes. And actually that also what my mentor was saying, because I actually compare to that. And, even the fact that I was thinking about that a few minutes ago, I mean, half an hour before my meditation, I was like, can I say out loud, it's going to be okay if everybody dies? But it's true. It's true. I cannot do anything about it. I mean, I cannot do anything. I can do my small choices every day, but at the same time...
That's right. That's right.
That's
right.
Yeah.
The ship is going down.
Yeah.
Okay? The ship is going down. So I can either be hysterical and scream and wave my little fist at God, and or I can say, well, all right, okay, time for love.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Because and I was thinking, go ahead.
Well, Stefania, the thing about that, because, the ship isn't literally going down, and our loved ones are still with us, and, those kinds of things. Right now, not that we haven't lost loved ones, we have, but you know what I'm saying.
So
it makes that choice so much more available for us, because there is so much goodness right now. There is so much to be grateful for. The world is a beautiful place, right? It's where we live anyway. It's summer. Everything is gorgeous. The birds are still singing. The skies are blue, right? So to leave all of that to go to an imaginary future in which that will, I mean, that we can see that that's just not going to serve anything, starting with us.
I was thinking like the emergency doctor, like in the emergency department, they don't run around screaming. They try to be present and trying to figure out. They might make mistakes. I'm not saying that everything unfortunately is perfect.
No.
But we would not want to have a doctor that just run around the same way as the patient might scream because of his problem or her problem and such. So
that's right. Yes.
Yeah. I just want to hear it again. And that's really what I'm trying to do. And often this voice, of course, is going to say, oh, no, you're not supposed to. But I think it makes sense. You're right. And so I'm going to continue that way.
Yes, exactly. And, Stefania, not to get too terribly political about this, but we can also take that the next step, right? So we can see that there are a lot of things that aren't going well. Let's just pick the environment, right?
Yeah.
And so I could, again, be screaming, yelling, and hating those people who are being that way and doing those things. Or I could focus on love and appreciation and gratitude, and I could decide what I would like to do to assist the environment in ways that I can.
Yeah.
So, right? So I could plant trees, or I could tear up my lawn and put in a garden and grow vegetables for the food bank. Or I could, you know, whatever a person is moved to do. So it's not either hate the circumstances or say, okay, well, the circumstances are what they are, and so good, I'll just go along with my life as it is. We can take that next step and see if we can actually actively make a contribution and feel good about that.
Yes. I mean, and at the same time, that's something that is complicated, because sometimes, you know, the choices could be so many, and some of them, for example, I have a dryer. I never use the dryer because I hang the clothes. Then someone says, well, I hang the clothes. And my point is, I don't want to judge this person that use the dryer, because need just to take care of my own decision. I might drive to the beach. I don't want to feel guilty if I drive to the beach. Because again, everything cause problems in the environment, right? But also this voice, to kind of be nice. Like, that was the other thing I was telling, my mentor was telling me, reminding me.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. The point that you're making, Stefania, that is the most important one, is to get out of any negative conversations in the head with egocentric conditioning, self-hate, right? Because that's never going to leave us anywhere. And you're absolutely right. The very fact that we exist is causing the very harm that is so painful for us to see. It's true.
Yes.
Yeah. And so not to get caught up in that, but just to do the very best that we can do and let ourselves feel good about the effort that we're making.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, as you know, there's always that's not enough, and we need to shut that voice.
Of course.
Because
that's
otherwise,
for
anything, not just the climate, can be just a painful and useless and painful voice. Thank you.
That's exactly right. Who needs that? All right. Thank you, Stefania.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Go happy too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Stefania. So what a profound conversation, in that it allows us to look at the places where we get stuck, which is the contextual, there's nothing wrong, and the human experience of having to grapple with things that cause grief or a sense of loss or a sense of disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
That affects us because we deeply care about them.
Can we be with both of those? Is that where you're...
Well, yeah. In other words, we have to be with both of those, because both of those are true. And that it's in the middle of it's the samsara nirvana conversation that we've been having all along on the morning show. If the nirvana is here, then I have to find the nirvana here. And that implies the ability to deal with issues such as life, death, loss, grief, and the all rightness of it all simultaneously now.
That's right. Because all of those things, it just might be the case that they are what will drive us to unconditional love. They will drive us to nirvana.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Because there's no exit. And
that's
so I have to look for the gassho there. Where's the reconciliation that would put me in a place of peace?
Yes.
So big.
It is.
All right. I believe it's time for good news update, and so let me attempt to find our callers.
I will mute myself and take one thing out of your technology challenges.
Excellent. I think we have everyone we need live now. So Jen, I will turn this over to you for Good News Update. Well, maybe not. Hang on one second. Jerry, Jen, are you online?
I am online, and I'm double muted, so you missed my fabulous introduction. So I'll do that again.
Okay. all right. Go ahead.
I'm pleased to be joined by Renee, who is here to speak with us about her experience of listening to the Summer of Sangha group recordings. Welcome, Renee.
Hi, Jen. Glad to be here.
Hey. See, it happened again. They queued it up perfectly for us, talking about the discussions that we've been having here. At
I know.
The
I was in there going,
Absolutely, right on.
Yeah.
Tell us. So for people who don't know, first of all, we're having tons and tons of groups here, and it's absolutely so fun because it's a rolling retreat. Right? And there's some people who are here for long stretches of time, weeks. Some people who are here for a day. Some people are here for a weekend. Some for a week. So it's truly different every single day who's sitting there in group. And all of the groups that are happening are being recorded and put up on the web for people to listen to. So thank you for being here today to talk about your experience of listening to those.
Yeah, it's been awesome. So first I just have to say how exciting it is to listen, because since I haven't been in a group for so long, like an actual live group, it really feels awesome to just be listening to that live group. Even though I'm not there physically, it's like the next best thing. So I love listening and just hearing that group discussion. Yeah.
That's such a good point, Renee, right off the bat, that it really, it's a different dynamic. When people are sitting physically together in the same space, it does create a different kind of discussion. So as you say, even though you're not there in the room, getting to hear those discussions is so valuable.
Yeah, really. And I can just follow right along and, you know, just listen in and laugh and be there right with them. And and it's just been so helpful to what I've been practicing with. So just the discussion about all the different types of content has really been beneficial as I work with all the different content in my own practice.
Yeah.
And just today I was, you know, there's like this one, my work content, I've kind of zeroed in on it, you know, and I know that those karmic conditioned voices and then other content like food and exercise, maybe I don't know that as well. And I'm looking at how those processes work with all the different content. And so some of the discussions have been about those things really clearly, and it's been really helpful.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Because you get to hear how other people are working. I mean, as you say, there isn't anything that anyone says in group that we can't in some way plug our own thing into, see ourselves in it, right? And down to often, because there's so many of us and, you know, we're all human beings and so we have the same things in our lives, there's going to be someone who talks about even the same content as what you are working with. And so to get to hear both how they're working with it and then how the facilitation happens around the discussion.
Yes. It's it's so helpful. And I was going to, you know, when I listen to group or radio shows or I'm doing my own recordings or, you know, I have multiple insights like all the time. Like, and then with the guidance not to do anything about them, they come in. And then there might be some that stay and I practice with them. And then others that, okay, they come in, oh, that's a huge insight. And then I don't really think about it again or do anything with it. And so it's hard for me to pinpoint one, like, insight or change or, you know, anything that I might be doing differently with it. However, I would say that what I do consistently one thing is record and listen, and another is like looking at the process of where is awareness in my life, like right now, where is awareness? And even when I received the invitation to participate on this and on the good news today, you know, conditioning starts up with, oh gosh, what are you going to talk about? Blah, 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 you know? And I was like, okay, that's not what's happening right now. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to wait until the day of it and the time of it, actually right now.
That's
you know?
Right.
And then, and let life talk instead of planning or, and that's like, no matter where you're at, where is awareness? You know, where is it at? And am I there? You know, is my attention on it?
Exactly. Attention on awareness. Attention on awareness. And what I love about that, Renee, is it is exactly the process of what happens in group.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have heard myself say so many times over the years that it feels like group is, it's like a, I don't know, artwork or a tapestry or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we all walk in and we sit down and we have no idea what's going to get created. No idea.
Right.
We're all just here and then off we go, right? And we just explore what's here now. And it's not that there aren't things that people bring, you know, to guidance or to group that they want to explore, but that's not the same as planning it and knowing what I'm going to say. And so it becomes this incredibly rich, deep exploration. That the other piece of it when you were talking that I thought of is, you know, I've listened back to a number of these recordings, groups that I was sitting in, just saying this in guidance today, groups that I've been a part of, and I was listening back to one in particular the other day, and an exchange that I had with the guide and thought, oh my goodness, when I listened back to the recording, I saw this whole other layer of what was being pointed at that I had not at all seen during the actual discussion.
Yeah, that happens to me quite a bit as well, like, or even listening to another, like a radio show or a group again and having a whole different experience. Well, I also find that I listen more closely to different things within each one too. So to try to turn your attention to listening to those things that maybe you didn't listen to before as well, like can give you a whole different, you know, process that you see, new things you see about it. So, but I love the analogy about the art getting created because I think that's so true when we're here.
When we're here.
That's exciting. Yep. That's the exciting part is when we're here, we don't know what will be created.
No idea. No idea. Yeah. And it's always amazing. And so often, you know, I mean, people say this all the time. It feels like, wow, that's exactly what I needed. Because, of course, when we're here, what's here is exactly what we need.
Yeah. Right. That's so good to say. Yes. When we're here, it's what we need. Yeah. Yeah. And I was just talking today about how when I'm not here, it's not what I need. And it seems, that's how it seems. Like, it's not what ego needs. I should say it that way, right? Like, I don't know how to say that. But when I'm here, it is what I need. And then when I'm not here, I don't get what I need. I'm not getting it. Like, I'm not receiving what's there that I need. Yeah.
I'm not receiving what's here. And so no wonder that puts us in loss, lack, and deprivation. And that feels really real.
Right, right.
When I'm not here, it really does feel like I don't have what I need. I have to get what I need. I have to strive for what I need. I have to be upset that I don't have what I need, et cetera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing I just want to, this dropping in right now is, you know, when I'm practicing by myself without any other people, it could be recording, listening, or meditating or whatever, even if I'm doing a process map on my own. What I love about group and being in person or even being with someone else, it could be on the phone too, but in group especially, is there's so much, and I think this is the right way to say it, but I can always put it out there and someone can say something different, but validation, the validation of what, and the, it's like it gives it more credibility and your, what you're seeing is like enhanced somehow. If I'm, you know, when you're talking and you're saying, this is what I'm seeing. And then, you know, the guide or someone's reflecting and you're like, oh, it's even better than I thought it was, so to speak. Like, you know, like, Wow, I'm really practicing, you know? Like,
I think I'm right with you, Renee, because I really heard two things in that. There's kind of that sense of, oh, right, we're all the same. This is happening for everybody, right? And there's, and drum roll, please, there's nothing wrong. So no matter what we bring up, we realize there's nothing wrong with any of it. And I love that piece that you added to it, which is that it then it becomes an exploration, you know, in the exchange that I'm having with the facilitator. But very often, there will be themes and threads that get carried through a group. And then, and in fact, that was one of the things I was hearing in what you were saying before, that often, you know, you talked about all those insights as you listen to your own recordings and you, you know, talk about things in group and you have insights. And then it can feel like they go away, but then invariably at some point, someone else says something that brings it back, that sparks it right there.
Yeah, it doesn't really go away. We might just not be in our awareness, but it comes back and in a different way or even the same way sometimes.
Exactly. Very much like this conversation we're having here. It just gets deeper and broader and more fun. And
that art gets created, for sure.
The art gets created. Yep. We know, in quotes, that we're going to talk about Summer of Sangha recordings on Good News tonight, and that Renee is going to be our guest, but we have no idea what piece of art will be created from that.
Right. Yes. And all art is valuable, in my opinion. Like, it could be like helpful or in that moment. You know, it's what's there.
Exactly. Truly. Yeah. Well. Thank you for being with us to talk about your experience this afternoon, Renee.
Yeah, well, thank you, and thank you for offering those group recordings. They're wonderful.
Yeah, isn't that great? I just, it's so fabulous, and we hope it'll inspire people to come up and see us.
Yes. I'll be there soon in person, so looking forward to it. Thank you.
Can't wait. Thanks, Renee.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Renee, and thanks.
I'll turn it back over to you and Sherry. Sorry, go ahead.
Thanks a lot, Jen. I was just finding you in the queue to mute you, so hang on 1 second.
No problem. I'll mute.
All right, Sherry, are you back?
I'm back.
All right.
That's great.
Good. So it's wonderful. And we had I just wanted to say that some of our groups are so action-packed when we're trying to keep the tent flaps down, listening for people to show up. I mean, there was one fabulous group in which a dog joined us for it. It was just, it's like, it's a whole new dimension of being present with how it is.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is. I think, of course, you know, the Buddha did all of this stuff out of doors and must have had similar situations of just all of life happening around as practice is going on. And in fact, I was saying this to a couple of people recently. So here we've got this 4 acres in town, right? It really is in town. So we have traffic going by on the street, and the highway is, you know, a few blocks away from us. And now we have a big logging operation across the street, and we have airplanes going over. And, you know, it's so right in the middle of life. The life that everybody is a part of, right? And, of course, we're not used to that because for many years, when you're right in the middle of 320 acres, it can get pretty quiet. And I'm really enjoying this feeling of practicing right in the midst of.
Oh, me too, yeah. Sherry. And both in the physical sense, which is such a metaphor for the spiritual sense, because if we can't find the peace here in the middle of our reactivity to the external stimulus, where are we going to find it?
Exactly.
In a sustainable way. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my hope about this new place and practice as it is now, that it'll be so like the rest of life that it all becomes quite seamless, right? You just come to the practice center. Yeah, you come to the practice center, and it's just kind of like being in your regular life, except there's more meditation and more groups and that sort of thing. And you go back to your regular life and carry on, and it becomes virtual. But there, it's not such a I'm in my life now. I'm on a silent retreat somewhere for a few days, and then now I'm back in my life again. Yeah, it's a bleed through this spillover.
Truly, and I'll say one more thing and bring somebody else on. It's also the tremendous places where you can find the silence. Because I was sitting in the hall today, and that between the sound of the chainsaw and the logging operation, it was a symphony orchestra with a whole bunch of incredible birds. And the level of attention that you have to be paying in order to be able to listen like that, right, is a silence that's quite incredible. Yeah, of a different dimension at any rate.
Yeah, yes, I agree. Yep.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna in Oberlin.
Well, hello.
Hello. I'm having a whole mind experience because I had this prompt sent to put myself in the queue and get myself right in the tractor beam by putting myself in the queue right in the midst of a really big day, instead of, you know, sort of taking myself to get off to get quiet and then be able to put myself in the queue.
So right in the middle of the storm.
Yeah, right in the middle of the storm, and not a storm of struggle and negativity, but just a storm of life moving.
Life-lifing.
I had this meeting with a friend today. I've been doing this thing that I'm just loving at the moment where I have several friends that I meet one-on-one with, and we meet on Zoom and we say hello and we say what we're going to work on, and then we turn off the mic and we turn off the camera and we set our timers and we work together. So it's like, you know, commitment buddies or, you know, the container of a working meditation period. And then we come back on and say how it went, and it's just absolutely gorgeous, and it creates this sort of container of accountability and presence and showing up and doing for the love
and
of others.
Support.
Support, yeah. Not being on our own. And I got on the call with my friend today, and it turned out that over the last couple of days, she came really close to dying. And she's the same age as me, and there was something going on with her heart that people haven't been able to get to the bottom of yet. But she was in the emergency room and at a point where she was saying goodbye to her partner. And
oh my goodness.
And she was telling me about this today, and what I experienced was the life-lifing of facilitation and reflecting and nothing wrong, and we were both in this love and appreciation. And I could just feel all of the training right here, you know, these sensations and the mind trying to fix and, you know, and to just be in that, you know, expanded awareness and be able to be with somebody and nothing wrong was an incredible experience.
Hang on, Anna. Hello? I think we might have. Hang
oh,
on. We
oh,
might
sorry,
have
sorry, sorry.
Today.
I was. Yeah, no. I'm right here. I was muted. Sorry about that. So what I was saying is, it's where we use the word big, because
yes,
there aren't enough words to cover it. It's like everything all at once. It's just
yes,
yeah. It just gobsmacked would probably be a, and yet present for it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and present to the clarity of, I'm choosing love here. I don't know if, you know, we made an, you know, we arranged to meet tomorrow at the same time, and I don't know if she's going to be here, you know?
Yes, or if you will.
Or if I will, exactly. So that's what we were talking about. We just don't, but we say, you know, hello, I love you, I'm so grateful to know you, and if we're still both here, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes. Oh, and yes, it's so that kind of thing is frowned upon. It's morbid, right? It's morbid according to society. You don't focus on that sort of thing. But why not? Why not?
Right.
Because one day somebody isn't going to be here, and if that's how we've approached our relationships. Then the one thing we know is whoever goes, they know beyond a doubt as they go that they've been loved.
Yep.
Because we told them.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. All of those things I was thinking of today. All of those things that we talk about in practice, that when we see somebody, we don't know that it's not going to be the last time we see them, and we want to make sure
that's right.
They know we love them, and we get together, and all we say is "I love you" in various ways. You know, we make up other stuff to talk about, but really, that's all we want to be saying.
Yes, that's the song, isn't it? Isn't it? I don't. It'll come back to me at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sure. But the that whole notion of we do all of this stuff because we can't just say I love you, and so we do all of these other things, but they all, that's what it all comes down to, right? Why am I calling you? Why am I asking you how you are? Why am I telling you about what's important to me? Why? Well, because I love you. And that's that. That's the sum total of it. Yeah. Everything else is just a way of saying that isn't so socially uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. And I was as you were saying that, I was just getting an image of going around in life like that. Like, you know, I don't know, making bed. Brushing teeth. Why are we doing all this stuff? It's just to say I love you to life, to the human being.
Yes. And so we've been on this thing, as you well know, recently more than usual with Gusho. And that's all that is, right?
Yeah.
Why do we make Gusho? Well, because we love.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very happy about your friend, and for you too, because those kinds of experiences are really not that we want them. We never want them, but they are such good reminders of what's really important.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's exactly where she was. And I sent her the audiobook links as well. I told her all about the fear book and the key. She's lying there.
Yeah.
For her to listen to if she wants.
Bless her heart. Now that would be that's the perfect use of that phrase. And will you let us know how she does?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna. All right.
Yeah, I guess so.
Take good care.
Bye.
Best show.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Anna. And Jerry, that is so profound. But what just occurred to me there is how much we practice for those times and what...
Oh, yeah.
And when the training kicks in, how grateful we are.
Mm-hmm.
That all of what we've been practicing becomes available. And we can be there for someone because we choose unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we can be there for ourselves, right?
True,
it takes us back to our very first conversation. We don't have to be caught listening to a voice, a negative voice, telling us what's wrong or what's missing or how it should be. Or we just don't have to deal with that. Because so much of life, as it is more than enough for us to deal with without assistance and support from negativity.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when we when we're not listening to that conversation, I project in an experience like this, we touch the depths and breadths of the miracle of life-lifing, right?
Yeah.
Rather than that very narrow way of looking at it, here I am open to the vastness in which I actually look at morality and face it in some way,
mm-hmm.
and also look at
mm-hmm.
love. And it's what the conversation about the planet is. How do you contend with samsara and nirvana at the same time, right?
Yes.
It's when you're in this experience.
Yeah. Well, it's facing mortality in each moment, right?
Yeah,
we're born in a moment and we die in a moment. It's
mm-hmm.
very difficult
mm-hmm.
for us to even think about that, but it's true. It is
mm-hmm.
true of everything. It comes into existence in a moment and goes out of existence in a moment. And to learn to be with that, just prudent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Allie. I'm from Sacramento.
Hey, Allie.
Hi.
Welcome.
I'm. Thank you. This is my first time on the call, and I'm actually kind of flabbergasted that I got on today. My birthday is tomorrow, and it was just my birthday wish that I would get, some words with you. So,
so today is your birthday, Allie?
Tomorrow is my birthday.
Oh, so you're spending your birthday Eve with us.
Yes.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
I just started reading all of your books, and my mom's been a long student of Zen, and so I've been something in my life for a long time. But I really hit this spot where I was just in so much despair over just this deep loneliness that I keep feeling that I don't have a partner. I have two small boys who I had on my own, and, there's this yearning for a partner, and there's been a person in my life a little bit, but it's not working out. And so I struggle with the mind of this, like, you're going to be alone forever, this voice that just, whatever I do, it's such a struggle to stop.
And Allie, the irony, that's a terrible word for it because that's not what it is at all. But as you've noticed, that's what winds up being our partner.
Yes.
That voice,
yes.
Right? And that is the last partner we want.
Yes. And so I struggle with, I've been doing some of your listening and recording and these things, and I feel this, like, okay, you just need to love yourself, and somewhere inside I want to throw a temper tantrum, like, I don't want to, like, I want somebody else to love, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it just feels crazy making.
Well, Allie, are you far enough along in all of this stuff to have a sense that there are at least in this conversation, there are two folks involved. One is a real folk and the other is a voice, right?
yes.
And so it seems like the, I think the most difficult thing for us to get in practice is what is ego and what is the actual human being. Okay? So the actual human being knows this. I want love. Okay? Now ideally I give love and I get love. Right? I have love, I share love, love, okay? Now, of course, usually, especially, you know, we grow up, someday, the right person is going to come along and you're going to live happily ever after. So, of course, we think of this as being an external person. And then we realize as we go along that even if there is an external person in our lives, they're not even half of the equation, right? That, you know, the expression, you need to meet this other person halfway. But actually, right, that's not true. You need to meet this other person 100% of the way, and they need to meet you 100% of the way, or it's never going to work. And we've all seen plenty of relationships not work, right? So right, there you are, and you realize, okay, all right, I want love. So where do we start? Well, I know one human being who would really like to be loved. That would be me. Okay. Yes. Well, let's start here then. That seems reasonable, and plenty of people say it is. That's an important place to start. And what does ego say? It just pitches a fit. I don't want that. I don't want that. And it's really saying what is absolutely true. It doesn't. Because as you get to the point of being the love that you're seeking, ego is really out of business.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because its job is to make you unhappy, make you miserable, get you to focus on loss, lack, and deprivation, on loneliness, because it's over there just gobbling up all of that good juice that it's getting you to generate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have you run across our book, Be the Person You Want to Find?
Hey, I just finished it, yes.
Okay. Good. I was going to offer this. I was going to send it to you, but you're ahead of the curve there. Yeah. So that's the deal, isn't it? I mean, you could say it any way you wanted to say it. Okay. You're learning to love the one person that you know best, and know is deserving of love, love worthy, lovable. Okay. Now, yeah, don't ask ego if you're any of those things, of course, but you know you are, okay? And so that's who you're going to focus on. That's what you're going to concentrate on. And in this, so it's kind of like all your life you wanted to be an accountant, okay? That's just, you love numbers, you love puzzles, you just all your life you wanted to be an accountant. Well, part of being an accountant is you have to learn to be an accountant. Then, once you learn to be an accountant, then you get to be an accountant, right? So love is the same thing. Yeah? So what you're doing is learning to love unconditionally. Yeah? So are you getting ready for somebody else to be in your life to share that love? Yes. And the odds are going up and up and up that person is going to come along. But if they don't, you won't be missing a thing.
Yeah. Thank you.
You are so welcome. You're going to stay close, right?
Yes. Yes. This is my first call I've listened to live, and I just, exactly what I needed in this
good
part of my life. So.
Very good. All right. Well, stick with us, and we'll just keep
hitting you
over the head with the same message of you are love itself. So that it's, we can't hear it too often, let's face it.
All right. Well, you have the happiest birthday of all birthdays. Please.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you,
Thank
Allie.
You so much.
Bye-bye. All right. Good night.
Thanks, Allie, and have a wonderful birthday. And that brings us to the end of this show, Sherry.
It does. You know, it's too bad. There she is right down the road from where we were. Now it's going to be a longer trip for her to get here, but, you know, it's just a matter of distance and time.
Yes, well, and that's that wonderful thing about Sangha, you know. Here are all the images that will constantly love us, all the reflections that will love us all the time and show us how lovable we are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Mm. Very good point. Mm. All right. Well, let's all go happy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.